I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening, and it'll be jam-packed with information as usual. We'll be talking about some hot tips on reality creation, ways to maximize your own personal frequency. We'll be doing kind of a look at some of the topics that I discussed on last week's program and kind of going into a little bit further in depth with those, because of the popularity of those subjects based on audience contacting me. And before we get to all that, I'd like to remind the new listeners to ET Yoga that you might want to have a paper and pencil handy, because there's going to be lots of little gems of information coming your way on tonight's program. And at this point in time, I'd like to kick off the program in the normal manner by having a little bit of Japa Yoga. And it's a short clip from back in the 1970s of some mantra repetition, Japa Yoga, led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that right now, it'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Swami Satchitananda. And probably some of our listening audience won't remember this, but Sri Swami Satchitananda actually gave the opening ceremony at the famous Woodstock Music Festival in New York. And actually, I watched a little bit of some videos from back in the 60s and 70s today, and brought back some really fond memories. Really liked the camaraderie of the people that felt like everybody else was like brothers and sisters, and trying to look at some of the more positive aspects of those days, and the fact that it was kind of the youth of America that was like America's conscience in those days, and does make one wonder what represents that conscience today. I'm going to give my usual disclaimer at this time. This program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. I'd like to also at this time give my great thanks and appreciation to the listening audience of ET Yoga, just for being you. And as Bashar would say, you're already making the maximum difference just by being here. And other people find out about the difference you're making when you're doing your passion. I'd also like to give a special thanks to those people who do take time to email me and to share with me their successes with ideas and concepts that they've heard on the ET Yoga program, and also to make suggestions concerning program content. So if there's any questions I can answer for you, feel free to email me at paperfungo, that's PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. And another way that you can always contact me is by going to my website at etyoga.com. And also at etyoga.com. If you find information kind of coming at you a little too rapidly to make notes, and you want to take your time going over the archives of the ET Yoga program, the easiest way I know of is just go to my website, etyoga.com, and on the main page there's a radio archive button. Just hit that one button, and it'll take you to about the last 10 ET Yoga programs. And just look for today's date for today's show. It usually appears about a day or so after the program. Now, in preparing for tonight's show, I learned a few things, as usual, and also had some quite, I think, amazing information that I'll be sharing kind of throughout the program tonight. And I'm going to kind of start off discussing this whole concept about our core vibration. And our core vibration or signature vibration, that's, you know, who we really are. And it is the vibration of joy, happiness, and excitement. And when you feel these emotions, you know you are being your natural self. And if something is not working in your life, it means that what you're putting out is out of alignment with your signature vibration. So if you experience pain, it's because you are resisting who you really are. All pain is resistance to the natural self. Your core vibration is always putting out the frequency of what you truly are, and thereby attracting to you frequencies that are similar and repelling frequencies that are opposite. And if you didn't do anything, you would have everything you need come to you and everything you don't need go away from you. In fact, the best thing you can do is to stop holding on to what wants to get away from you and stop pushing away what wants to come to you. It's your programming and limiting beliefs that get in the road of a perfect, flowing, happy life. And in conjunction with that, in last week's program, I shared some information from Bashar, which was really, I thought, quite fascinating, because it's about a higher consciousness download to Beethoven. And this download takes place in the first 3 minutes of Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, Second Movement. And I'm going to quote from Bashar, because this is how he describes this particular piece of music, is that this particular piece of music is of the appropriate vibration to allow you to be in the proper state to attract whatever information, healing, situation, people, or opportunities that you require. It also deals with the issues of letting go, forgiving the self, and the letting go of grief and regret. This will allow you to let go of all those things, thereby allowing you to work with your vibration, and in this way, forgiving yourself, and thereby becoming more whole. These chords are exactly, precisely, what will tap into the idea of your letting go of the past, sorrow, grief, regret, and the forgiving of yourself, thereby having you move toward the vibration that will attract to you whatever information is relevant, which will allow you to be in the healthy state that is your birthright. And that's a direct quote from Bashar. And his suggestion there is what you do is you let this music wash over you. Like I try to make a meditation out of it, like really focusing in on the music and with a total attention and just letting it wash over my entire body. And I think that for many people, you might find this is just that little click that you need to help you with respect to some of your conscious reality creation. So if you've been playing around with the idea of reality creation, you're just kind of on the edge, just almost there, but it's not quite clicking in. Usually it always comes down to us kind of throwing dirt on our own trail because of something we're not aware of or some conflicting belief or some incongruent frequency that's kind of messing up the manifestation. And I think that this particular piece of music really will help a lot of people with respect to letting go of the past in particular, and also letting go of some possibly older beliefs that we're even not even aware of, and thus facilitating the whole concept of conscious reality creation. And in conjunction with that, I'd like to also bring up the term monatomics, because monatomics to me are like probably the most amazing discovery, or actually rediscovery, of the modern era. And yet we don't really see much about this. And I think because it has so many implications in so many areas, it's considered exotic matter, a superconductor. We're talking about high-spin electrons that actually transition from one dimension to the next. And there's also connections here with things like healing almost anything, and also longevity. And monatomics are also acquired from taking gold, and it's melted down into a white powder, and this white powder gold is also called monatomics. And a question was asked of Bashar, and the question was, I am aware that in order to provide to us rhodium and iridium, we can go to carrots and grapes, and are there plants which can provide gold, the monatomic gold? And by the way, rhodium and iridium are both in flaxseed oil. And Bashar's answer to the question was, that which exhibits the highest color in your visible spectrum, violet. Yes, therefore eggplant, flowering kale, etc. However, if each of you had what is called a broad-spectrum diet that was basically vegetarian in nature, you would find and encounter everything that you need. Another question was, you've mentioned before that the iridium of the white substances will open up our psychic abilities, but white powder gold will give us the longevity. And Bashar says, yes, even the energy field itself around the monatomic gold will impart the idea of longevity. And in conjunction with this, obviously when I came across that information, connected me with the whole concept of the Andara crystals, and that's A-N-D-A-R-A. And Andara crystals come from a monatomic field, so obviously they're associated with longevity. And monatomic Andara crystals positively affect the energy patterns that move through the body's meridians. And Andara crystals initiate electromagnetic balance and harmony via a positive charged wave that restores and cleanses. And the individual is blessed with greater creativity, enhanced mind-body coordination, improved learning ability, and less stress. Calmness and serenity can also result as mental clutter gives way to a more focused thought process. And I might also point out that each Andara crystal connects and links to all other crystals. They're like one organism, and they have been placed at all the sacred sites on the planet. So when you're connecting with an Andara crystal, I mean, this is really, really big stuff here. And I think it's really important to know that if you're talking about raising your frequency or raising your vibration. We know that, okay, for example, two people meditating together, let's say one person gets to a little higher state than another, the two frequencies will actually balance out somewhere in the median point between the two. This is what kind of occurs as well when you hang out with an Andara crystal, like put it under your pillow at night, because when you're hanging out with this kind of frequency, it's going to entrain you to that frequency. And a very, very kind of an important tip there, I think. Also interesting is that I came across researcher Bruce Taino, and he talks about that all substances can be measured for their wave signature or frequency. In fact, each organ of the body has its own frequency and with a particular range suggesting good health. So basically, all our organs, they know what frequency actually is in the good health range. And similarly, based on research that was done about 10 years ago with the children of AIDS, the child that was born with AIDS, and he had AIDS at 2 and 4 and 5, or whatever, all of a sudden at 6 years old, he doesn't have AIDS anymore. And they're kind of figuring out, how can this be? And they start checking into his DNA, and it turned out that he had 4 codons of DNA turned on that the normal population didn't. And then they tested that his DNA against, more powerful forms of the AIDS virus, and he was immune. And then it turned out he was immune to all disease. And the cat's out of the bag there as far as, it's known now which 4 codons were activated that makes people actually immune to disease. And interesting as well, in this Bruce Taino, and that's T-A-I-N-O, his tests have shown that within 3 seconds of thinking negative thoughts, the body frequency drops. And it takes about 21 seconds of thinking positive things to bring the frequency back up. And if the frequency drops, the immune system is compromised. So, you know, I think when we start talking about frequencies, it's a really important topic. And dark crystals clearly raise your frequency. And when you share a space with a crystal which has a resistant free vibration, your energy will entrain with that of the crystal. And we need to think here in terms of consciousness, and like what does it mean to be alive, to be awake, or to perceive? And clearly, crystals, we think of them as rocks, but they're not. I mean, they have a consciousness. They are awake, and they can perceive, and they're living beings. Crystals are connected to the cluster from which the crystal came from, and the cluster of crystals is one organism. And to me, like this whole concept that we have is going to change about our whole way of thinking about crystals. And of course, crystals were very huge back in Atlantis as well, and for a variety of reasons. So I always like to give a plug for Andara crystals. And as far as I know, in my opinion as well, is that they're the highest frequency of any known crystal. And, of course, they're from a monatomic field, so I guess that says something as well. Now, as well, on last week's program, we talked about certain health benefits of doing certain things or avoiding certain things as well. And I'm going to share the brief a Great American Rat Experiment that I've shared before with on ET Yoga, but I'm going to expand on it tonight in a little different way. So the Great American Rat Experiment. We have one group is fed a diet of raw fruits and vegetables, nuts and whole grains, beginning at birth, and this group grows into healthy, affectionate, disease-free adults. And group two is fed the equivalent of the standard American diet, and that's with meat, milk, candy, lots of fats, pastas, and breads. And this group grows into vicious, nervous, cruel, disease-ridden adults, and they suffer from cancer and heart disease and a host of other diseases. And a third group is also fed the standard American diet, and this group suffers the same diseases and displays the same temper as the second group. But here's the amazing part. After the equivalent of 40 human years, the third group is switched to a diet of raw fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and nuts, and they turn into healthy, happy, disease-free specimens within 1 month. And I'd also like to recommend that there is a YouTube video of the effect of animal fats on the human body, and it's from Dr. Michael Clapper, and that's C-L-A-P-P-E-R, and it totally destroys the myth of needing meat for protein, as well as many other interesting scientific findings. Should also point out that if you don't believe that's true for humans, I'd like to recommend the whole idea about the Amish, because at HealthWise, and that's at HealthWyze, HealthWise, they state that the Amish diet consists of eating organic, fresh, locally grown produce, and of course they do not follow the established vaccination routines. To the dismay of mainstream media and the medical establishment, this has resulted in a healthier people who are void of all of our chronic diseases. Heart disease, cancer, and diabetes are virtually non-existent in Amish villages. Equally non-existent are our modern chemically engineered medicines, enhanced chemically engineered foods, GMO, and, of course, vaccines. And from what they state in this particular article, there have been only 3 verified cases of autism in the Amish community, and 2 of those 3 children were vaccinated. And I think that's pretty much says it all. Not even to mention the fact that in Italy there's actually been decided in courts that there's a direct link between autism and vaccines. Not even brought up in mainstream media in the West. And as well, from Irina Baker, we have an article that she wrote about meat and vibrational frequency. And she states that the biggest saboteur of your efforts to raise your energy vibration is flesh, including red and white meat, poultry, and fish. Energy frequency is supported by energy vibration of items we put into our bodies. When a food item vibrates low, it affects your overall vibrational level. And when the food item vibration is high, it uplifts your overall energy as well. What is the level of vibration of any meat product? The answer is very simple. It's very low. It's just a corpse that was frozen and injected with chemicals to make the corpse look a pretty red color. And this package vibrates with a very low frequency. And when consumed, it not only affects the body's physical health, but also, more importantly, affects the body spiritually and emotionally. And I might also add that I picked up some information years ago that pork actually, where it came from, it's a combination of a wild boar and a human. Thought I might just toss that one in there for you to do some research on your own. To my way of thinking, kind of interesting stuff. And also, with respect to some other kind of, what do you want to call it, natural hazards, I guess. We had one of our listeners contact me concerning and sharing some information concerning what's called Scalar Energy Rest Shield. I'm going to repeat that, Scalar Energy Rest Shield. And it's from Ken Rohla, and that's R-O-H-A-L-A. And this is because this person is electrically sensitive to, like, cell phones and Wi-Fi and EMR meters. They're just, for some people, it's just unbearable to be around these things. And this listener highly suggested the Scalar Energy Rest Shield as a antidote for that particular problem. And they also recommend the Liquid Mana Rad Detox, and it's from the same site. That's Liquid Mana Rad Detox. And apparently that is Scalar Energy Charged Ormez, which is orbitally rearranged monatomic elements, and it's a formula to support the removal of internal radio contamination. And for most people, they say that one bottle is sufficient unless re-exposed to higher levels of contamination, such as that found when flying or traveling to areas in proximity to nuclear contamination, such as in Japan, Hawaii, or near the Chernobyl in the Ukraine. And so I definitely wanted to pass that on. And I also came across a show that was presented by David Wilcock, and the predominant theme of the program was actually about the discoveries down in Antarctica I'm not going to get into that topic tonight, but I did want to mention that while I was watching that program, he mentioned he had some contact with Dr. Pete Peterson. And the last time I saw Dr. Pete Peterson, he was actually interviewed by Project Camelot. And at Project Camelot, he brought up information that I thought was quite valid, because it's about skatefish oil. And he says that after World War II, there was like hundreds of thousands of kids were tested with just one drop of skatefish oil on a piece of bread, and they had no cavities. And he also stated that skatefish oil at that time of his airing of the interview at Project Camelot, he said that skatefish oil was the highest known antioxidant in the world, and that it was also could be used to totally prevent heart disease. And I might add that I do take skatefish oil every day. And thank you, Dr. Pete Peterson. And Pete Peterson has stated to David Wilcock, I think a valid concern here, that he says that at 32,000 feet, which most airline flights I've been on are about that height, he said at 32,000 feet currently is like getting a chest x-ray every 8 minutes. So I guess you could do the math on doing a cross-Atlantic flight, for example. I've also looked at some other videos on YouTube to see what kind of research has been done there, and there's quite a bit to suggest some quite alarming results with respect to airplane travel and radioactive contamination. So maybe these particular products that I'm just referred to might be of some use to you, that you may want to check that out, especially if you're doing quite a lot of airplane traveling. I might add that California has always been one of my favorite places, but if I was living in California now, I would change some of my behavior quite a bit. Like, I used to really like going to Malibu Beach. I'm not going in the waters, personally, not anymore. And definitely not eating fish coming out of the Pacific Ocean. And probably going to get myself some seaweed. I even eat seaweed now, but if I'm living in California, it'd be a must, and it'd be like every day. And I'd also look into another product called Bio Superfoods, because they really help with eliminating radiation from the body. And these would be things that I personally would be would make the top of my list, kind of like top of my list is pure water. And I use a Berkey filter because I just find them to be really, really a good product. I think you can get 64,000 gallons of pure water without any kind of real maintenance or replacements. So it's they're amazing. You can take them to the lake if you want. And in fact, you could put lake water in it and get pure water from that. So anyway, just passing on some ideas here. Another little tidbit of information that comes from Dr. Joe Dispenza's blog, and that's D-I-S-P-E-N-Z-A, Dispenza. And Dr. Joe says that January 31st, 2017, for the first time in recorded history, the Schumann resonance of the Earth reached a frequency of 36 hertz. And it was considered an anomaly when in 2014 this frequency rose from its usual 7.83 hertz to somewhere in the 15 to 25 hertz level. So it jumped from 7.83 to 36 hertz. I mean, he says that's a big deal. And you know what? I think it's a big deal, too. And I mean, 7.3 hertz ever since I grew up. Frequency of the earth, that's what I was told. And to go up to that level, if that doesn't indicate that lots of things are changing, then I don't know what would recommend that or substantiate that. Now, with respect to reality creation, I think that I'd kind of like to do a little recap here. Now, concerning, I always talked about reality creation as kind of being like three different areas, but I've kind of been changing my opinion to kind of moving to like there's maybe, at least five different approaches. And before I get to kind of articulating about those five approaches, I'm going to share a little bit of Merlin the Magician from the book Merlin's Message, because I think this is a real handy little tip for those interested in doing reality creation as well. And it's called Time Traveling. And she states that you are capable of accessing the future through the portal of your imagination. Become fascinated with your future as you live it in the now. Time travel can help you resonate with your ability to experience all that you desire. As you reflect upon something from your past, feel that memory come alive. You are breathing life into that memory now. All reality, past, present, and future, occurs simultaneously in this moment. There is no other place that it can exist. You can travel into the past as you live it now. Those emotions are easily accessible. Allow the power of your emotions to bring forth what you are wanting. You move energy in the direction of the scenarios you envision. With some practice, the ease of tapping into the past can be applied toward creating your future. You literally travel to another time as you live that future now. Imprint the future you desire as a memory, and it is done. I'm going to repeat that line. Imprint the future you desire as a memory, and it is done. Memorizing the future makes for magic, magicians. Travel to the inner dimensions. Take a mind trip. Decide on a specific reality you would like to attract into your life. Simply design the dreamscape in which you see yourself living. Where are you? What are you doing? Who are you with? Take a mental picture of what that looks like, a photo thought. As you project that future event, become emotionally involved in the scenario by feeling it now. Revel in the luxury of knowing this is you by being there in your heart and mind now. As you do that, you are deliberately placing yourself at the very center of creation. Getting all your physical senses fully involved encodes a powerful message in your cellular memory. It gets easier and easier to access, and it becomes a memory of what has been. Be detail-oriented about this, to the extent that it feels good to do so. What are the sights, smells, tastes, and sounds that make up your dream scene? Visit that reality again and again, just as if you were simply strolling down memory lane. Continue to refine these images over and over. Allow these visions to become like a vivid memory that you can easily recall at will. As you put your energy behind your future, you will see it manifest before you. Now you are mastering the magic of creation. To manifest, first visualize, then familiarize, and memorize. These things that you want are no longer outside of you. There is absolutely nothing separating you from your desires energetically. As you say it exists, creators, it exists. when the frequency of vibration emitted matches fulfillment. It can be no other way. When I want it, I get it because I already have it. And that's from Merlin the Magician. And she has a very interesting website. Well, I guess we had a little technical glitch there. Kind of lost the connection. However, I was mentioning about Merlin the Magician and her website at the Creating Camelot Club. That's the Creating Camelot Club. And very fascinating. It's all about Merlin and Merlin the Magician. Now, with respect to talking about different types of reality creation, I usually talk about the first type as being all the information you're downloading from your original caregivers. So what you download from your caregivers for the first, say, 7 years of life, all these beliefs, thank your caregivers for all these wonderful ideas that they've passed down. And for those ideas that are no longer of use, that's called the process of maturing. So you disregard those and focus on the ones that are of use and the ones that you want to foster. And because the facts are that it's your beliefs, your definitions, your emotions, your intentions that create a mirror image of your experience in physical reality. And you have to be a frequency match for what you experience. Otherwise, you can't have an experience. So, to me, this is the stage one of reality creation, is going through, do the homework on what you believe. And if you need to prove it to yourself, it's life itself tells you what you believe. Whatever's happening outside of you, that's telling you what you believe. If there's an area that you want to explore, write down on a piece of paper what your beliefs are about it. Go right back into childhood, you know, like cover the gamut, and you're going to find that your experience in reality is going to match those beliefs. That's what everything is all about. It's about belief. They've even done Greg Braden, Braden, scientist. He's done some amazing work with respect to talking about some of the discoveries using computer simulation. And they basically know that the universe is holographic. And they know that the universe is comprised of energy that we call consciousness. And that, like any, it's like a virtual reality computer. We live in a matrix, if you like. And the language of interpretation inside the matrix is belief. In simplified terms, what you believe is. That's why the concept of the placebo works. It's because you believe it does. That's it. And this whole concept of placebo isn't true just in the area of medical field. It's true in every area of your life. What you believe is. That's the whole ticket. And this is a big demarcation line among people in our societies, because that people that can't grasp that concept, they are basically stuck in 3D. That is the demarcation line between fourth and fifth dimensional awareness. It's because once you become aware of that particular fact, that opens the doorways. And it also can free you up from lots of old baggage, too, because if you're 100% responsible for creating your own reality, then nobody else is to blame. And blame and victimhood and complaint are all, they're just signposts of a victimhood consciousness. So whenever you catch yourself in those three modes, like leave it, let it go. So to me, that's stage one of reality creation. And do your homework on, you know, what your beliefs are, and you can reprogram beliefs and create new beliefs. So this is what it's all about in terms of that aspect of your spiritual work even. Okay, second level to me of reality creation is putting positive spin on outer circumstances, because outer circumstances do not come with built-in meanings. Everything actually in life is inherently neutral. In fact, even disease, all disease is created from dysfunctional emotion, and it's all based on, at some point, making a negative judgment about a neutral situation. Otherwise, disease can't manifest. So the bottom line here is that by placing a positive spin on an outer circumstance within a positive definition, you're going to have a positive experience from that circumstance. By placing a negative definition and a negative emotional spin on that circumstance, you're going to have a negative experience. And one of the things I noticed, because this is the one area of probably reality creation that I seem to be the most proficient at, is that I've done this hundreds of times. It's always worked. And for me, I don't know, it just seems to work out that whenever I identify something as a potential negative and I throw a positive spin on it, the whole problem just disappears. I mean, it's just gone. And it's like blows my mind, too. But bottom line is I do understand why it works, because basically what you're doing is you're creating a frequency match for a different set of holograms, and you're attracting those into physical reality, and that's the physics of why it works. Then moving on to the third form of reality creation is what I call more like conscious reality creation. So in conscious reality creation, if you want to see a visual demonstration of that, you go to YouTube, you go to Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes, and that's Greg Braden, B-R-A-D-E-N, Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes. And it's a video about 15 minutes long, and it's about a woman from North America that has a tumor that is inoperable, according to the doctors here. So she goes to Beijing, China, she goes to the Qigong Center, and 3 practitioners there dissolved her tumor in like about 3 minutes. And it's all on video, the actual process of the tumor dissolving. Then they checked her out later, and it was gone. And so anyway, the bottom line here is that in the Western world, that's considered a miracle. But that's also why I'm such a big proponent of Qigong, because I understand that everything's about frequencies, and I've focused in on the healing sound frequencies, Qigong. So all your organs are resonate to certain frequencies, and in order to activate your inner energy and your energy flow, and it's always blocked energy that creates disease. So by creating an energy flow of in your entire system by using sound frequencies, you create an energy flow and you keep your chi flowing. And this whole idea of the curing cancer thing is just an example of that these practitioners have this thing in their mind that the person has already been healed. That's the secret to this. And it's same if you're trying to manifest any other type of conscious creation or reality experience, is that heart-brain resonance is created by appreciation and gratitude. So, and heart-brain resonance creates the optimum environment for doing reality creation. And the trick here is similar to the healing that you can witness, in that what you want to do is give thanks and appreciation and gratitude for whatever it is you're trying to manifest, because you love the feeling of experiencing that, and then actually you want to experience the feeling, because it's the feeling, not just the words, that make it manifest in physical reality. So to me, and this is probably the trickiest one of them all, and especially tricky when it comes around subjects of money, because that's another long subject that I don't have time for to get into this evening. And then another type of reality creation that I'm going to call the fourth type now is this whole thing that I shared previously here in the program and on last week, or 2 weeks ago on the ET Yoga program, and that's this concept of playing Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, Second Movement, letting that piece of music wash over you, because everything that's trying to get to you, we push it away based on our own programming. And the things that are trying to get away from us, we hold on to, kind of like regret and stuff like that, and grief and whatever negative emotions, these are the things that make us an incongruous frequency to what we're trying to manifest. So to me, this is another way. And you might find that, you know, you're really good at one of these, not all of them, or there's one technique that works for you. And if you play with these, you'll find out what works. And then when it works, it kind of blows your mind. So to me, that's kind of what I call like the fourth kind of method of reality creation. And then there was this, most recently, I came across this Ho'oponopono technique. And that's kind of cool because basically what you do is you take any issue that you think is a problem, and then you basically just say the following, that if it's a healing part that you want to do, part of your body you want to heal, you just say to that part of the body, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. That's the four steps. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And if you go on YouTube, you're going to find there's a lot of testimonials there about people that use that technique and find it very effective. Apparently, the originator of the particular technique was, you know, worked at a kind of a psych ward that was for criminally aggressive people, and basically cured the whole ward using that technique. And it's an amazing story. So I highly suggest that you could try to look up the actual YouTube that goes into the history of that particular technique. And that's, I'll spell this one out, Ho, H-O-O-P-O-N-O-P-O-N-O. So Ho'oponopono. So that's the technique, and I'm calling that now a fifth type of reality creation. And I much appreciate hearing about your successes with respect to any of the techniques and ideas and concepts that you hear on this program. Nothing makes my week more than to hear about your successes. And I usually like to, at this point in the program, wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your fulfillment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And in the usual manner, I like to close out the program by sharing the Who Am I technique that I first picked up actually from Baba Ram Dass, but a more famous person that shared this technique was Sri Ramana Maharshi. And Sri Ramana Maharshi, he used to give this technique to his students. And in my opinion, I mean, to me, all techniques are permission slips, so whatever works for you is the most powerful one. But for me, this was the most powerful one I've ever done. When you happen to just go through the doorway. So the idea here is to place the thought I in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And then you ask the question to yourself, who am I? And you can do that multiple times, whatever seems to be comfortable. The main thing here is that you would want to focus as much of your total consciousness and attention on becoming that spot. And then you state the following to yourself. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.